Blog Talk Radio.
You're traveling to another radio show, a broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. Just the on-air sign up ahead.
Okay.
Here we go.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome to our weekly episode of School Matters. Every Thursday, we discuss relevant issues that impact educational opportunities for our young people and provide pertinent, actionable opportunities for real change.
Hey, this is Eric Dawson, and today I am joined by Tawanda Dowdell Shear. I guess Veronica may be on a summer hiatus. So welcome to School Matters.
Thank you.
Welcome to
No,
School
she's
Matters.
Actually she's doing her last paper for her school.
Now, see, school does matter. I don't care how old you are, school matters, right? Here we go.
Correct.
So, I wish her well. And we'll have her, you know, hopefully back on. But I love having you on talking school issues, Tawanda.
Thank you.
So the big thing right now is this flat funding
that
that is being proposed by Governor Christie. And so for listeners who may have their heads in the sand and not be clear about what this is, Governor Christie essentially is saying, no, he's actually saying that there should be no difference in funding a depressed city's school district. And by depressed, I mean that they're lacking resources. They may have special needs, low income, all of those things, that school should be considered to be funded just as a school in Short Hills, right, or Livingston or Maplewood or any of the other, you know, suburban towns throughout New Jersey. And so when you look at Camden or Trenton or Newark, you look at Patterson, there are some issues in those schools and the fear, and I'll let you talk about it, Tawanda, is that if they go this path, there won't be enough money, and there'll be massive, massive cuts in the North school system in particular, right? So what are you hearing on the streets from people?
Actually, nobody's talking about it, Eric.
No one really is
talking about it. I don't know if parents, I don't know, maybe parents don't know. I'm thinking it's the summertime. People just going by their daily routine, having cookouts, enjoying going to the beach, but I have not heard anything in the street. I heard what Christie said, and to my opinion, that's just the worst ever, because the urban school, which is Newark, Trenton, and Camden, we need more funding. We're not going to be able to function as the suburban areas. It's just not going to happen, because we have more kids that has special needs. There has to be, it's just crazy that he would even think of something like this.
Yeah, well.
Because
you know,
it makes me think about like the hospitals. Like, I work at university. University hospital has charity care. Other hospitals in a suburban area don't have charity care. And charity care is what really makes, have us keep going between charity care and Medicaid and Medicare. If it wasn't for those insurances, we would not be a state hospital. We would not be able to function.
Well, I mean, one of the arguments that Governor Christie has is that, failing schools should fail. Thriving schools should thrive. At the end of the day, his belief is that, folks who live in West Orange, as an example, who has the third highest tax rate in all of New Jersey and the highest tax rate in Essex County, that they shouldn't be paying $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 of their tax dollars annually to subsidize failing schools in urban areas. That's what his thought is. And his belief is that it is a way for him to provide tax relief to these people, which total about 70 to 73% of the towns in New Jersey. So he's saying that 73% of the towns in New Jersey, I want to fight to give you a tax break of as much as $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, maybe more, depending upon what they're paying. And, you know, and he's saying you should be able to take that money, and if you decided that you didn't want to live in Newark and you wanted to live in Short Hills, you should be able to take that money and go on vacation or send your kid to, you know, a nice summer camp or do whatever you want to do with that money. But for you to have to be – for you to be responsible for paying for education systems, failing ones throughout urban districts, he doesn't think that that is something that they should be doing, you know. And
I mean, what happens to the children at the end? That's what we all have to look at. What's going to happen to our kids? Because if we send our kids to the suburban districts to get the education, the kids going to fall behind. Because we have some children
because he is
saying
that
does have special needs.
He's saying that you can move, right? He's saying that you can take your for somebody who lives in urban, you know, an urban district and they don't want to be there, they're welcome to move to one of these other towns and they could take their, you know, Section 8 voucher or whatever with them to that other town and move there and benefit from that improved school system. But I agree with you. So, you know, how do you handle a kid who is behind?
But what happens if I'm not too sure about Montclair or Melbourne school system, but do they have a need? Do they have teachers that can teach special needs kids? That's my whole issue, is that our kids going to fall behind, especially the ones that have a learning disability, speech disability. Is they going to be able to get the education that they deserve?
Right. Well, and so that's something, so it concerns me, right, when you tell me that something as impactful to the urban community as something like this, and that you say you hear nothing. There's no outrage, none. That you don't have the folks from the unions, you don't have parent organizations, you know, you don't have teachers groups, you don't have all of these folks who will come out and protest, right? You know, because you asked the question at the end, what's going to happen to the kids? So we all know what would happen to the kids, right? And you know, in 10 or 15 years, we'll be screaming about an uptick in crime, right? And poverty and all those things. And then you'll have folks wanting to march and protest. The question is, why don't they do some preventative protesting? Why don't they do some preventative, I mean, what I would suggest, and I know that across the state, you know, one of the radio stations had, had folks calling into the legislature, and they made a bunch of phone calls into the legislature. But the same way folks get on buses and they, you know, storm the buildings down in Trenton, they needed to do that. Once they heard this, they should have chartered buses, and instead of chartering them for folks to go to Atlantic City to gamble, they should have chartered them for parents and community people to go down and, you know, and face down the legislature to demand that they, you know, do whatever is necessary to fight against this.
True, and I know Donna has been on Facebook, and that's rarely for Donna to be on Facebook, but Donna's been on Facebook. And she's been saying different things. I know she was in Patterson, I believe, today. But Donna's always going to be there. Donna Jackson going to always be there and fighting. But what about everybody else?
Wait, what about everybody else?
Like, I mean, you know, we don't hear nothing from parents. It's like it's summertime now. school is not in. Summer school starts, I think, July 11th. And nobody is really, and I'm thinking, parents is not educated on what Christy's going to do. That is my thinking there. Parents really is not educated. Have they heard what Christy going to do? Have they read the newspaper?
So my question is, organizations like Bayo, right, that's in Newark, right? Right? Bayo's in Newark. And my question is, why aren't they, you know, I mean, they are the Black Alliance for Educational Options. Why aren't
are they dedicated to the charter schools, though?
Well, but the charter schools are going to be impacted as well.
True. That's true.
The charter schools, they're talking about flat funding across the board.
So that doesn't matter what school you go to.
Well, that's
absolutely
my understanding.
Right. Yeah, that's,
right?
Yeah. And then it's going to get to a point where you're going to have to go to school in your own district. It's no more going outside the district because everything's going to be the same.
Right.
You know,
so,
as long as I can remember, because
I
know when I was growing up, my mother was going to take me to Hillside to go to school. But back then, they had somebody going around checking. And, of course, that's going outside your district. So now, if Christy comes with this flat funding, it doesn't matter what district you live in. Everything's going to be the same.
Right.
So now I'm thinking, now my thinking is, where is our leaders that we vote into office?
Well, that's always the question, right? You know, now I know that Mayor Baraka was with Senator Sweeney, you know, yesterday, I think it was. He was in Newark, and he's going to be traveling across the state talking about this issue. But the question is, you're right. You know, where are all of these elected leaders who have a platform, right? They have the ability to call press conferences. They have the ability to assemble, you know, on the steps of, you know, of the state house. They have the ability to assemble on the steps of city hall within these urban areas.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that one of the mayors, I had Mayor Warren on my FM radio show, and he was talking to me about some sort of a mayoral committee of some sort on education, and he was saying that you know, they were trying to rally and get the word out about what was going on and oppose it, right? And I know that the mayor Ras Baraka also chairs some League of Mayors, right? Some Black mayors, and but I haven't heard that, you know, that they're going to be engaged, and if they are, how they will actually be engaged. But the thing that I was talking about with Mayor Warren is called the Mayor's Committee on Fair Education.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, but the question is, how do folks find out about it? How do folks get involved? Is there some sort of website? Is there some sort of petition that's out there that people can sign and give information so that they can be a part of some greater movement that says, we don't want to do this? And that is my biggest concern, Tawanda, is that we complain, right? So you'll hear people complaining, you know, about this at some point, right? So you're upset about it. I'm upset about it. Donna Jackson's in Patterson. She's upset about it. I think I saw her with a megaphone on Facebook. You know, you got a few other people who – but there is no collective. There's no organization, right? And I'll tell you – this is going on. I've had my Facebook page now for 4 years almost. And what I said from the very, very beginning is, don't get mad, get organized, get mobilized, and vote.
True.
The thing that we do is get mad, but we don't get organized, and we do not get mobile, and we do not mobilize, and we don't vote. And so people will stand there, and he will run over us with this bill. You know, and now I got to tell you, I talked to a pretty prominent person who's in the education arena in Newark. I'm not going to mention their name. But when I brought it up and I suggested that the person come on the show and talk, about it, their response was they didn't think that it was a big deal. They didn't think that it was going to pass. And I said, you know, if this thing makes it on the ballot, it will most certainly
pass. We'll be in trouble.
Because,
it will be in trouble.
Like I said at the beginning of the show, 73% of New Jerseyans paying additional tax to fund 27% of New Jersey, which are these urban school districts. And so, I mean, think about it, Twan. I mean, we're just being real, right? If you're already, you know, feeling overtaxed, and the governor says to you, and you're living in Short Hills, and you're paying some enormous tax. I know here in Montclair, the taxes are insane. I know some people who are paying $24,000 a year in tax. There's some people who are paying $28,000 a year in tax. That's over $2,000 a month just in property tax. That's before
that's
you pay your mortgage. But some people are paying that. So now, if the governor said to somebody here or in Stuart Hills, listen, I'm trying to push through a bill that puts $8,000 back in your pocket at the end of the year, $8,000 cash back in your pocket at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. They're going to love it.
Do you understand what I'm getting at? They're going to love it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the argument on our side is going to be to try to have some moral argument with them that says, well, what about the children? What about your greater obligation to society? What about your that'll be the argument that we'll try to pose to these people who will have dollar signs in their eyes, right, looking for that $8,000 back at the end of the year.
And
so
they'll be glad to get it.
Gets on the ballot, they're going to be glad to get it. And before it gets on the ballot, we have to stop it. But I'm concerned that there is just this cockiness on the part of some people, and then there is apathy on the part of other people, and then there is just ignorance on a mass number of people in terms of what's going on. And so this thing is just happening. And understand this. This was a Democrat I was talking about the tax. I got carried away. I was going to talk about the the gas tax, which was pushed by Democrats.
Some people, and then I've talked to some people during the voting time, is like, well, I'm not going to vote because they're going to do what they want to do. That's not true. Your voice has to be heard. I mean, I've been voting since I was 18 years old. And I think that is the most important thing that you can do is vote. If you can't do nothing else, at least vote so that way they can't say, well, that person don't care. But if you don't vote, you're just voting for the Republicans or voting for who going against us.
Well, you know, this is
but
not my FM
show. I get that
show
all the time. Some people say, like, if I vote, it ain't going to matter.
Right. This is my FM. I mean, this is not the FM show. I can't curse on the FM show. But on this one, I can. It's bullshit. Okay? It's bullshit what they say. You know why people don't vote? People don't vote for a couple reasons. They don't want to be accountable or responsible. They want to be able to blame somebody else and say it's somebody else's fault. You see, if you take responsibility, then you have to say, maybe I didn't do enough. And then so you do more. And you say, I didn't do enough. And then you do more. And you say, I didn't do enough, and you do more. And you get engaged and involved in not only the process, but in your community. But you have folks who live in a community, and literally, they go in their homes, they lock their doors, they pull down their windows, they turn the television on, and that's it. And then in the morning, they come out, they get in cars, they roll their window up, they have their heat or their air conditioner on, depending upon the time of year, they turn their radio on, and they drive through the community. And they don't touch the community, you see. And they don't want to be accountable or responsible for anything that goes on. They want to blame it on other people. It's your fault. Your fault. Your fault.
That's
get
true.
Involved.
Yeah.
Get involved. You know, and so I am deathly concerned about this. Deathly concerned.
Because
so,
once it's done and it's done, then people gonna start complaining. I guarantee you, Eric, if it ever go through, people gonna start complaining after the fact.
Right.
They always
so you
do.
Have 5,000 people. Well, here's my question, right? I always ask these kind of questions. So you have the mayor who can, when he wants to, right, he can rally 5,000 people to come out and show up at a, well, at least I think that's what they said the number was. I'm skeptical that it was 5,000. Occupy the city. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But the number of people that came out, I mean, and then we have to realize that some of them came out because Common was there and some came out because John Amos was there, right? But for the socially conscious people that came out, my question is, where are they now? Where are they? You know, these elected officials, they can hold all of the, fundraisers, right, to raise money, and they can count the hundreds of people that show up and write checks for them. But where are these people that they can galvanize to show up on the steps of City Hall to save our children?
That's true. And where's the board members, though? But where's the board members?
Where are the board members?
You got Antoinette Baskerville Richardson. She's named the chair. You got Crystal, the vice chair. No one has held a press conference. No one has came on Facebook or said anything.
You know, and
I guess they're on summer break because school is out, and I guess they'll start doing what they got to do when school opens back up. This is ridiculous.
Well, this thing is gaining momentum, and as Chris Christie goes across the state talking about it and getting people engaged with it based on, again, their ability to save money. And the way that he's pitching it is he's saying, look, the people in Newark are not accountable, right? So, he's saying that they're not being held accountable for the way that they're spending the money that they're getting to take care of these schools. And so when he goes around and he presents that information, I'm telling you, it will be a compelling argument. It'd be a compelling mm-hmm. argument for somebody who is self-interested.
True.
You know, so I don't know what the I don't know. Again, short of and then here's the other question: where are the faith-based groups, right? Where are the pastors and where are they? Where are the nonprofit organizations? Right, Urban League. Where's IYO? Where are these places?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything.
Right,
and the clergy supposed to be a strong base. They got Roundtree.
All of them.
So they occupy the block. Sometimes they did in the summertime where they occupy Clinton Avenue and was it Stratford?
Mm-hmm.
One Saturday or whatever. So I'm just thinking like, yeah, you're right. Where is the clergy? Where is the other organization?
Where is the community? Where's the community? And so here's the question I ask you, right? If the community can't stand up and fight for itself, why should anybody else fight for it? That becomes the question, right?
Yeah.
So
that's true.
So if I'm living in Short Hills, right, and I'm saying if they really wanted this, they really wanted my money, if they really wanted to change things, if they really – they'd be out there screaming and hollering. Nobody saying anything. So why would I believe that me giving that $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 every year is going to yield any different results? Why would I believe that?
Yeah, because the community is not coming out.
Because the community is not coming, which says to me, look, if there's something that goes on in Montclair, I tell you the community comes out. They come out and they're trying to figure out what's going on. This would not, what Christie is talking about doing to urban schools, if it was going to have a negative impact here in Montclair, they would come out. And so,
I think it is too. We have a lot of young, and this is not an excuse for them, but we got a lot of young parents that don't understand, Eric. They really don't understand what's going to be the outcome for their children's schooling. Because some of them just drop their kids off at school and go about their business, go home and go back to sleep or what have you. They don't try to come to no PTA meetings. They don't come to no school meetings. They just drop the kids off like the teachers and the principal is babysitters.
Right. But what I'm saying is it would be real easy for the president of the Board of Education, Antoinette Baskerville, to go on her Facebook page, right, do a live, you know,
mm-hmm.
video, right, and talk about this.
Yeah.
She could do that right now from her thing, right? And
because they got the Facebook Live.
Right. I'm not talking about, I mean, we could talk about how to spend some money if you want to try to do a mailer, right? But they do mailers when election time comes, right? They get the money for the mailers. But
mm-hmm.
when it's something like this, they don't seem to have the money, right? But, you know, when you look and you see that somebody like Antoinette has, I'm actually going to Facebook, so I'm gonna tell you exactly how many friends she has. And I'm not picking on just Antoinette. I mean, I'm talking about any of them, Marquise Lewis, Dashe Carter, Crystal Fonseca, you know, all of them. You know,
that's true.
I don't see.
And my thing is this: do they only work when school is in? I mean, in the summertime,
no.
They don't try to rally parents together. See, I don't know, because it seems like the meetings end in June. That's when school is over, and it seems like that's all you
right,
hear from them until
always,
September.
But it's they meet their last meeting is in June. But they should
mm-hmm.
always have their ear to the ground to understand what educational issues are at play, right? You know,
yeah.
But what I'll say here is I don't know how many total friends Antoinette has, but she and I share 961 friends. We have 961
wow.
mutual friends, almost 1,000, right?
That's
so,
a lot.
Certainly, right. So I'm saying that she has more than 1,000 friends. So if she does Facebook Live, she'd be able to attract some friends, you know. And if Kim Gaddy, if Dashe Carter, Marquise Lewis, Crystal Fonseca, all of them, right? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I just think that it is absolutely pathetic. I think it's absolutely pathetic. Oh, I came to look to see what was and then somebody has a Facebook Live that popped up on my thing. But listen, when we come back, I want to have a deeper conversation about this or continued conversation about this. And we'll see, you know, what we can do to, you know, maybe offer some suggestions to listeners about how they might be able to get involved. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Okay.
Most people have something they hold dear to their hearts, family, home, health, and they protect their valuables. Social Security is no different. We value the people we serve and believe the integrity of our programs is important. To protect the people we serve and the services we offer, we use many tools to identify, prevent, and stop fraud. We identify fraud by using tools that predict the chance of fraud happening. These tools help us closely monitor cases and identify fraud sooner rather than later. We also have stiff penalties that discourage people from committing fraud. Social Security has zero tolerance for fraud, and so should you. If you suspect someone is committing Social Security fraud, report it online at http://oig.ssa.gov/report. Or call the Social Security Fraud Hotline at 1-800-269-0271.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Hey, this is Eric Dawson and Tawanda Dowdell Shear. This is School Matters. If you want to call in and ask a question or weigh in on the conversation, it's 646-668-8859. So Tawanda, here's something that I want to throw out at you. Because I caught a lot of flack during the school board races in Newark. This one that just passed and the previous one. And folks would say to me, where do you live? I said, I live in Montclair. Well, you don't live in Newark, so you shouldn't have anything to say about Newark. But now we're looking, right? And now I remember saying to quite a few of the people, my tax dollars go to fund those schools, right?
My tax dollars go to...
So if you don't want me to open my mouth, give me back my money. That's what I said in one of the threads. Give me back my money. And so here we are now, right? We've hit that crossroads. Yep. And so here's the question I want to ask you. What do you think about people who say, well, you know what? We'll continue to fund it. We'll continue to come out of pocket $7,000-$8,000 a year, right? But what we want is a right to have a say in what goes on down there. So why not, if these other 73% of the towns are contributing to the education of these schools, why can't these folks in these towns participate in the electoral process to ensure that guys like Marquise Lewis don't make it on the school board, to make sure that guys like Marquise Lewis don't become vice chair of the school board, to make sure that people like Crystal Fonseca don't make it on the school board, and other folks who are not qualified to be. See, I'll call the names, because until we're prepared to call the names, we're really not taking care of these babies. So these are some people who are not qualified to be on the Board of Education, and yet, because of politics, and it was only because of politics that those folks made it onto the Board of Education, right? And so you have a mayor who will say, you know, this flat funding is unfair, all children should have an equal opportunity, but then he turns around and he supports, he endorses, and not just him, but there were a slew of assembly people on a mailer that came out for the Children First team that supported Children First team. A slew of people. Cleopatra Tucker was one of them. Ralph Caputo was another elected official who supported them. I'm not sure. I don't think Grace Spencer was on there, but if she was, I'll call her out. She's a friend of mine, but I'll call her out, because the question becomes, how do you do that and then complain about this thing, right? We have to be consistent. So I'm saying if you want my money, I need to be able to – I don't want to hear any of those people complain about where I live. So your thoughts about that?
But I don't think – to me, it shouldn't matter where you live. Because it's true, your tax dollars are paying for it, but who's to say that you do not care about other schools? Like, Eric, you have family in Newark.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure everybody else has family in other urban areas. So my thing is that who's to say that we can't care? We care about Camden. I care about Camden, but I don't live in Camden. So is that to say I shouldn't say nothing about Camden? I should say nothing about Patterson because I don't live in those cities? I think that you can care. You should be able to be involved in the process. Because I don't know, as far as the school board, I don't know what the qualifications is. They just tell me you could be a citizen of Newark. I mean, I don't know what the qualifications are. But it should be some type of qualification, because you're dealing with our babies' education. And if you're not willing to fight for our babies, then you shouldn't be on the board. It should not be politically motivated. That's just how I feel about it.
Well, you know, it's a mess. It is a mess. And
I hear all the time the Osman Shabazz, why do they always talk about Newark? They don't live in Newark. But I just, to me, that's very unfair. Because you have family here. You're not supposed to care? They named Weequay Park after your father. That means you're not supposed to care.
Right. Well, you know, so folks don't want people who don't agree with them to participate in the discussion. And if you do participate, what they try to do is find some reason to disqualify your voice, right? And so what they try to do with me in particular is they try to disqualify my voice. But the facts speak for themselves. They just speak for themselves. You know, I mean, you do have, and, you know, and you have joined Veronica and I. We, you know, I don't know if Veronica told you, but last week we celebrated our anniversary together. You know, we celebrated our 1 year show last week. So we've been doing this for a year. And Tawanda, we have been asking people to come and join us, parents, to come and join us on the show. Not one parent, not one, has called it in a year, right? But you'll have people who will say, who will say to me, for instance, or say to you or to Veronica, you know, they'll complain or they'll ask, what are you doing? We say, well, okay, and we provide a platform where we have folks. We had probably the only platform that had a candidates forum, 10 candidates forums we held, 10 of them, 10. That's 2.5 months worth of candidate forums, 2 hours each, so that the community could hear. Now, in that instance, you know, people did call in. A couple people called in, but certainly not the number of people that should be calling in when the Newark Board of Education is on the brink of, and you know what, I don't think, and let me take that back, because I don't believe they're on the brink of local control. I think that the school board is at least 2-3 years away from local control, contrary to whatever.
I was told by somebody else that they are close, like this year coming up. Maybe not this year, but the following year, they should have local control.
That would be 2018 during the mayoral election.
Yeah, that's what they. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But my thing is this: it's not going to happen then either, Eric, because where is the meeting with the community? They have not had any meetings that I know of. They say they have, but some of them have been closed only for the teachers. I think they had one for the community, which they did not even advertise. So
look, they had,
I didn't even know about that meeting.
During the mayoral election in 2014, then they didn't have meetings until the school board election, right, in 2015. Now they had meetings again during the school board election for 2016. So you're 100% right. Because understand what happens, Tawanda. And this is a cycle, people. You know, people can hate on me all they want to. But I am confident enough in what it is that I'm saying that I say it on air. So you can go back and play these recorded shows to hear what it is that I say. Here's what happens, Tawanda. And tell me if I'm wrong. So now you have the end of June, you're going to have July, right? You're going to have sometime in the middle of July, you'll start having a couple block parties and cookouts and things like that. You'll have some people showing up with some shirts from these different organizations. They'll hand the shirts out. They'll fund some cookouts, buy hot dogs and buns and stuff like that. They'll try to collect some names and numbers. And then in August, toward the end of August, they'll start having book bag giveaways and other kinds of things, right? And then parents will – that's where you'll get a crowd of people. So you won't get a crowd of them to come out to talk about the flat funding issue. But you'll get a bunch of them to come out for some free shit, right? So they're going to come out for the book bags and for the hot dogs and for the everything else. And then you're going to turn around and you're going to have school start, right, in September. Yeah. But here's why they do the little town halls or the community meetings about education. Because they understand that school starts in September. once the kids and everybody get acclimated, right, then you're going to have everybody thinking about Halloween, like literally, like almost as soon as school starts, you'll see Halloween stuff. So people are distracted. Then before Halloween is over, what do you see? Thanksgiving stuff.
Thanksgiving.
People are distracted again. Now the holidays get combined. So when the Thanksgiving stuff is out there, you see Christmas tree decorations, right?
Yeah.
So literally, within 3-4 weeks of the kids being in school or so, they're kicking you in the holiday mode, right? Then you come out of Christmas and you're into the new year, and people, I'm tired, fatigued. Next thing you know, it's February, and the election is April.
Yeah.
That's what happens. And watch it. Watch it happen.
Yeah, you're right.
Watch it happen. And so they don't, they're not trying to wake people up. They're not. They would rather keep people asleep because they want a low voter turnout. They don't want to engage the community. They don't.
And I can't imagine who's going to run for the school board.
I'm sorry?
I mean, I'm wondering for the school board, is it going to be back to the children's first team, or is it going to be like it was before?
So, I don't know. I know that you had a unity slate this time around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard rumblings that the mayor did the unity slate, not because he wanted to, but it was politically expedient. I don't know the truthfulness of that. But I did hear rumors that there's going to be a unity slate. I also heard that that Bayo is even considering running its own slate. So, you know, and if PC2E decides to run a slate, right, then you're going to have the independent candidates running. I think this time around you have, what, 11 candidates that ran? No, you have more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? You had the unity slate, and then, no, it was about 11. Right?
About 11 altogether.
There was 11 altogether. You had the three from the unity slate. You had, help me out now, you had Minister Ellis. You had Sheila Montague.
You had
George Tillman. You had, I'm sorry?
Jason Dotson.
Well,
Jason Dotson.
You had Jody Pittman. That made 8. You had George Tillman had a partner at one point. I can't remember her name. She called into the show once. That makes 9. I know that there were 11. I believe there were 11. And so,
it's just so crazy how you have so many people. They just pop up at one time. You don't hear nothing about them for the whole year. But when you get downtown about January or February, then you see people start coming out.
Right. And so I ask the question again, right? So if we understand that the issue right now that the governor is trying to get on the ballot for November, he's trying to get on the ballot for November, you know, about this flat funding, right? Where are the candidates who ran and lost? Where are they?
Nobody seen them. I mean, I've seen a couple. I haven't seen them in the community.
We're talking about the ones. Now, what I will tell you is, you know, I see Sheila Montague seems to, you know, still be out there, you know, speaking and trying to rally up some stuff. But by and large, the folks who ran for the school board, the ones who lost, they're absent now. And the ones who won, I don't know what they're doing. I mean, what went on at the last board meeting?
You see, I wasn't even at that. I was not even at that board meeting. I mean, I heard it was some chaos where they was threatening to shut it down. I really don't know what the reason was.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's all, you know, and it, you know, one of the things, so here's the solution. One of the things that I'm hoping to be able to do in this upcoming school year is to either be there personally or to create a Facebook page that, you know, maybe it'll just say Two-Seater Street, right? I don't know. And then
okay.
have somebody go down with a camera and do Facebook Live right from Two-Seater Street
mm-hmm.
at every board meeting,
okay.
you know, at the general meeting as well as the business meeting so that people can see what's going on. Also, I think that it is imperative. I don't know how many people go to the cable channel to watch the council meetings, but I also want to have somebody going to the Newark council meeting, right, and videotape
mm-hmm.
the entire council meeting live, do a live feed, so that people can see what's going on at the council meetings. Maybe if we can do that, and we can now create...
I mean, they do have a channel for it. It comes on live. I don't know how many people watch it.
On cable or on...
Yeah, it's live. It's live as it is happening on cable.
No, on cable. No. But I want to move it to Facebook. See,
okay.
because when you do Facebook Live, what you get is people being able to comment and talk to each other. Do you
yes,
understand what
yes.
I'm saying? So if you're watching it on cable television in the comfort of your own home, then you have whatever your opinions are. I'm trying to create an online community where folks are watching it on their computers or on their smartphones, and they can say, holy shit, and then they can ask a question. And I want to have somebody there who can field the question and answer the question live. See, and I don't know why you wouldn't have the Board of Education doing that. Why wouldn't they do that? Why wouldn't they look and say,
true.
You know what, here's an opportunity for us to reach hundreds, if not thousands, of additional people. Hey, here's an opportunity to do it.
But I remember Marquise or someone had made, I think, a resolution that they wanted the business meetings to be taped live, you know, taped as like the regular meetings. And that's when I believe Cammie Anderson was there. And they just nixed that whole idea because they said it dealt with, but like you said, they can do a Facebook. They ain't got to pay for it.
Right. But the meeting is a public meeting, right? The business meeting is a public meeting.
Yeah, but it's not taped,
right?
though. Yeah, it's a public meeting, but it's not taped.
But I'm saying, but what difference does it matter? So my question is this. If you go to the business meeting, can you pull out your iPhone and record it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can because Frida
used to go there and record. Right. So if you can
mm-hmm.
go there and pull out your iPhone and record it, then why can't they just broadcast it? There's no, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
there's no proprietary information at the business meeting that they should be concerned that it's going to get out.
No.
So what I want to
From what I found out from a past board member is most of the business meetings, that is already done by the time they get to the public meeting. They have already decided
right.
what they're going to do.
Right. Well, I'm going to tell you, you know, we look, things are going to change now. I am so happy, Tawanda, that I have this FM show because I will be able to to bring multiple candidates up on the show.
Okay.
To have in-depth conversations, right, about how to move the school system forward. And because the show is 5 days a week, I'll be
mm-hmm.
able to talk about issues. So, you know, unlike the last school board election where, you know, we only do school matters every Thursday, I'll be able to address issues in the campaigns and issues in the schools year-round. And so, and then here's
okay.
the third thing that I'm hoping to be able to do. I'm hoping to be able to win schools. Or when does the enrollment start? Do you know?
I'm not sure. I'm really not sure.
So I got to find out when the enrollment starts. And then what I want to do is I want to go to the enrollment centers and I want to give the card to the radio station. Parents there and encourage them to call in and I'll start the engagement process there to get
okay,
them to call
yeah,
in.
I'm pretty sure it'll be quite a few parents at the enrollment center.
Mm-hmm. You know, but I intend to ramp this up a little bit more and to and begin to expose some of the many issues that are that are holding us back. But we have to, and I don't know if by September or whenever the enrollment has to start sometime. I gotta imagine. You know what, and I'll check. I have to imagine that the enrollment probably has already started, at least the online portion of it, for folks who have computers and can go and do that. I'm pretty sure that it started. In fact, you know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to take a quick commercial break. I'm going to check online, and when we come back, I'll let you know. We'll be right back.
Everyone likes data because when you have more data, you have more freedom. Freedom to do whatever. That's why AT&T is offering you 15 gigabytes for $100 plus $15 for each line. Because the more data you have, the more freedom you can enjoy. Freedom to post more memories, download more fun, and share what matters most with who matters most. 15 gigs of data for $100 plus $15 for each line at AT&T. What more could you want? I sure can't think of anything. AT&T, mobilizing your world.
Come in now and get the all-new LG V10, designed to capture, edit, and share high-quality video.
Pricing is monthly for service on smartphones on AT&T Next. Other pricing options available, overage monthly, and other charges and restrictions apply. See a store for details.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Hey, this is Eric Dawson and Tawanda Dowdow Shear. This is an episode of School Matters, and we were talking about enrollment, and we took the commercial break so that I could find out what's going on. So, Tawanda, I'm actually on the website, and it says, there's a Family Support Center section of the website, and there's it actually says for 2016 and 2017 enrollment, we are here to serve families of students who need a school placement in pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first through 12th grade for the 2016-2017 school year. Beginning in July of 2016, please visit us at the address below. So I'm imagining that the enrollment is going to start, in the beginning of July. So tomorrow's July 1st. So, I don't know if they have enrollment centers yet, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to call this number and find out if there are enrollment centers that people can go to, because everybody does not have a computer. So folks who have to go and enroll. So I'm going to try to find that out tomorrow. And then I plan to visit those enrollment centers during the course of the week and bring those parents on the FM radio show. And then hopefully we can migrate them to School Matters, but I plan to make that a mission of mine beginning immediately. Yeah, I'm telling you, and I intend to take my camera down to these enrollment centers and interview parents to find out how things are going. And then, like I said, at the beginning of the school year, when the board meetings start, now I got to figure it out because I do a Tuesday show. And I know the board meetings are on Tuesdays, and so I have to try to figure out if I can't do it, maybe I can get somebody to do it. Maybe I can, find an intern or something who is willing to go down and film these for me. But it has to be done. So we're going to get it done. And then hopefully we can start to engage the community a little bit more in what's going on.
I know a lot of people saying the community don't know. It's hard for them not to know. I just think it comes to a point where they just don't care.
They know what they want to know, Tawanda. They know when there's a movie that comes out that they want to see. They know when Beyonce dropped her new album. They know when the BET Awards come on. You understand what I'm saying? They know. You ask all the people. What's that guy's name? Jesse Williams. You ask everybody that speech he gave at the BET, or everybody would say about
that. Yeah, everybody, that's all over Facebook.
Everybody knows. But everybody knows about that stuff. So they know about the things they want to know about, the things that are important to them.
the other thing they they don't care about.
But then they want to blame everybody else. This teacher's not doing this, or this principal not doing that. But how many meetings have you come to regarding your child's education? I mean, when my daughter was having problems with math, I made sure I found a program, which I found in NJIT every Saturday, because I did not want her to fall behind. I wanted her to exceed, if not that grade level or a little bit higher. But, you know, my mother always tell me that I'm a different type of parent than the rest of these parents. But it shouldn't be that way. Everybody should fight for their child's education.
Right.
So,
that's absolutely right.
So maybe this will wake them up as far as this flat funding. Maybe pretty soon when school, but see, I'm scared that when school starts, it's going to be too late as far as getting this bill across, because that's what's going to happen. They're going to start school. Teachers going to start telling parents about the flat funding, and maybe I'm wondering, where is the teachers union? Isn't they supposed to be a big organization? They fighting for teachers, but where are they at?
All of them. We're all unions. Where's everybody? I'm saying, where is the community? Everybody should be rallying around this. Everybody. Where's the NAACP? Where's the NAACP?
And that's what I've been saying ever since all this started.
Where are the black
people?
Where are they? Where are they?
If you ask me, Eric, they only come out when it's convenient for them.
The civil rights issue, Cation, is the civil rights issue of the 21st century. And all of these ancient organizations talk about civil rights. They can preach about Dr. Martin Luther King. They can quote some of his quotes. But
mm-hmm.
Where are they? Oh. Well,
I know.
Anyway.
It's frustrating because, you know, I see it all the time. Like, but then when you have two or three people trying to fight, they don't listen to two or three people. You need, as they say, you need an army. You need a good set of community people that's willing to go up against the oppression, because because we've been oppressed. Education, to me, is a right, because you cannot get a good career or fantastic. It's not even about the job as far as getting a career if you ain't got the education behind you. And I'm finding it every day, even though I work at the hospital, but, you know, a lot of jobs require you to have a bachelor's or a master's degree.
And I continue to say that unless we consider education to be a priority, and this is why
mm-hmm.
I'm such a Bernie Sanders fan, because until we consider education to be a priority, and then we understand that even in the poorer communities in our country, they can't afford to go to college, right? And so a high school diploma is not going to do anything for you anymore. You have to have a bachelor's degree. And you have to be able to afford it. Well, Tawanda, I want to thank you for I don't even call it filling in. I consider, you know, you to just be a part of the, part of the School Matters family. So thanks for joining the conversation. I hope folks get something out of this. More importantly, I hope folks get engaged and deal with this this bill that Governor Christie wants to get passed, because it will devastate the urban communities. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thank you.